setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
I am coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, and you are joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how you can get there. It is about your purpose, your why, and we're going to look at your why and work. Because really, if you look at your purpose, your why, it is to contribute relationally and professionally. And we focus our conversation most of the time on the professional side of things. In other words, we believe that you were created to work, that work is not something you do just to pay the bills, to live, that you live to contribute, because work creates results. We also believe that meaningful work, the dream job, is available to everybody, and that this 9-to-5, 40-hour slog until you get to the end of your journey, well, that's not something that is just par for the course, that everybody just has to endure. That's a choice that you make, and we're trying to help you shake yourself out of that. 844-747-2577. You were meant for more. Somebody out there needs you to be the best version of you. Let's help you figure that out and how to get there, how to manifest it. 844-747-2577 is the number. 844-747-2577. Ottawa, Canada is where we started off with Marie. Marie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi.
Hi, Marie.
Hi.
How can I help?
So I have a dilemma. So I've had two professions that I really enjoyed. I'm ex-military, and I studied to be a midwife, but I had to leave both of them, and I've currently been looking for work for a year and a half.
Wow. Why does it take it? Why the journey for a year and a half? Can't find something. What's going on?
Part of it was COVID. All the jobs dried up. So I've been looking for government work, doing policy, but I don't know how I fit with that. So I ended up with a degree in women's studies after studying midwifery for 6 years.
Why'd you get out of being a midwife?
There was a lot of politics and bullying in my placements, and my anxiety went through the roof, and I started making mistakes, which is not a profession you can do mistakes in.
Yeah, right.
And I also had a child while I was in the program. I'm a single mom by choice. Yeah. So with the work-life balance, it just, my priorities shifted, and my daughter became more important.
Okay. But let's go back to that. Let's say that now where we sit, I'm just curious. Because you said you really, really love being in the military and you love being a midwife, obviously, until these circumstances took hold and it caused the adverse reactions. And then, of course, you've got the change in life at the time. But is that something you would go back and do today if you knew that you weren't going to be in a toxic environment?
I have thought about it so much, but every time I think about going to birth and being on call, my anxiety goes through the roof. And the military, I was medically released, so I can't go back to that either.
And medically released for anxiety?
No, I was released initially for I have knee problems, and I have a shoulder injury. Uh-huh. I have disability awards for my knees, my shoulder, my back, and my anxiety.
My goodness. Okay. So the question becomes, what is it that you would do tomorrow? I think you've got plenty of ideas. You've been kicking around ideas. You've been trying things, whether it's government policy or whatever. The question is what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? And you just go, I just think I'd want to try this grand adventure.
So the thing that calls to me the most is woodworking. That's what I wanted to do when I was finishing high school, but my career counselor said, oh, you don't have the math, and just completely dismissed it, and I didn't know anything about like how to stand up for myself or anything. I'm working currently part-time at a woodworking tool shop because part-time is all I can manage after having COVID.
Well, that's great. I think that's huge. What a great realization to go back to being in high school, and that's something you really wanted to do. And that doofus, I sure would like to rewind life and get a hold of that person and say, don't step on her dream like this. You could do quite well with the skills of woodworking. Quite well.
Yeah. I don't know how to manage it because I have, I have a family to provide for and I need stability and I'm in baby step two.
None of that changes the fact that you want to do woodworking, and woodworking can be very stable. Are you the only one with the income, or is it a double income family?
I'm a single mom by choice, so it's just me.
Okay. So how many hours a week are you working right now with the woodworking company or shop?
It's a tool company.
Okay. How many hours?
I work 4 hours, 5 days a week.
And how are you paying the bills on that little bit of work?
I currently still get income replacement through Veterans Affairs, and I have disability and a pension.
Okay, so you got enough money coming in.
Yeah, I'm about to lose my income replacement, though, which is the bulk of my income.
Oh, that's not good. How much is that we have to replace?
$3,200 a month.
Yeah, that's huge. You want to provide for your family. Guess what? You want to be a single mom by choice. Guess what? You're going to have to work.
Yeah. I know.
Well, but my point is you're going, well, you know, I want to, the wood shop, I got to provide for my family and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Look, you got to get out there and work. Like, you got to go, you got to stop, you know, you got to figure out how to translate this current work into more hours, or you're going to have to go get another job and have two jobs.
Well, and that's why I was thinking of still trying to get like policy work.
Do you have any experience in that? Any experience at all?
Not really. I'm doing a little bit of policy work with my church.
But why would you? Now. I guess I just don't know why you would go into government policy work if you have no experience, and I've not heard on any of this phone call that you have a general excitement about it. And what you really want to do, and what you've always dreamed of doing, is woodworking. And
yeah, there was one job that came up that I was really interested in. It was doing policy work with women's equality within the military as a civilian.
Okay, great. I would use those military connections to go after things like that. But here's my point. You love woodworking, and you could eventually own your own business and set your own hours if you stay on that path. Because that's something, just working with your hands, there's always going to be a need for a carpenter or somebody like that who can build that. And I guess what I'm saying is I would try to stay in that shop to where you could keep doing that work and then parlay that into something else full time.
Well, the work I'm doing in that company is like customer service.
Okay, but my point is you're in the same building with people that are working with wood. Right?
I don't actually see anybody doing any work like that.
Okay, I'm confused. You told me that they did woodworking in that company. Am I wrong?
It's a tool company.
Okay, but so didn't you say something about woodworking?
Yes, because that's something that I really want to get into.
Okay,
seeing all these tools have inspired me to want to do that work.
Okay, I got it. I misunderstood, but here's my point. You need to go into woodworking. You need a part-time job helping out a woodworker, doing some labor. That would be the second part-time job. Every day on The Ken Coleman Show, I talk to people who want to switch to a technology career, but they're worried it's going to cost way too much and take too long. Well, now my friends at Bethel Tech take care of all of that. You can get the most in-demand tech skills online and affordably. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman to learn how you can save $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition and get a great technology job. betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Again, that's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Helping you get unstuck and then get on purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Excited to have you with us. Coming to you from our Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, Tennessee. 844-747-2577 is the number to jump in on the conversation. You have to forgive me. I've got the old allergies. And Got a little scratchiness today, and the voice does a little bit of that nonsense every once in a while. You can follow me on Instagram at Ken Coleman to be equipped and encouraged and entertained. Later today, Madison and Joe, I'm going to post a picture of my two doodles, Riggins and Ellis. This morning, I came out before I left for the office, and they were laying side by side, like almost on top of each other on the couch. And it was too much for my soul to bear. And I immediately thought, you know what? I don't think there's anything more beautiful in creation than relationship. I think there's some beautiful sunsets. I think there's some beautiful mountains, some beautiful views and rivers and vistas and yada, yada, yada. Beautiful animals, beautiful trees, plants. Breathtaking wonders in this physical world of ours. But I really don't believe that there's anything better in creation and more beautiful than relationship. And we think of it as human all the time, but there's a reason why dogs go bananas when we come home. Why do dogs go crazy when they see us after not seeing us all day long? Is it because they're hyper? Is it because they're nuts? No, they just want to be seen. And dogs long for relationship. Animals long for relationship as well. It was such a beautiful sight. So I'm going to post that pic and pontificate a little bit on the importance of having a best pal, a best gal, a best buddy, a bestie, whatever it is. Because in that moment, I was like, you know what? And here's what's funny about it. Riggins, he's just laying there chilling. That's his personality. And Ellis is laying next to him too, but his tail was going nonstop. And that for a dog is the way the dog's going. I'm so happy to be laying next to my pal Riggins. It was pretty beautiful, I'll be honest. In these crazy, wacky times, because it kind of looks like 2021's trying to go, hey, 2020, hold my beer. We need good relationships. We need relationships.
Do you know what my dad used to tell me growing up?
No.
The only thing that sets humans apart from other animals are opposing thumbs and the ability to form meaningful relationships.
Yeah, yeah. But even in animals, we see that desire for a relationship. And your dad's right. It's absolutely true. I've heard that before. It's great. So anyway, follow me on Instagram at Ken Coleman. All right, let's go to Toronto, Canada. Sebastian is waiting on the line there. Sebastian, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Sebastian, I'm living the dream. What's going on?
Oh, that's very good. Ken, I've got a question for you. So I'm a third year business student, and I want to get into an area where I think my skills are at, and that's in operations and I guess people skills, working for some firm or businesses. But I don't have any relevant industry experience in really any industry. I've spent time in politics, and I've been on many campaigns, and I've been working in Ottawa and the political scene, but not much for a business. So I wanted to ask you, how can I use the proximity principle to start building relationships with industry leaders and how to get in that?
Yeah, because give me a little bit more on the type of work. I know operations, I get that. Explain that a little bit more, the kind of work you really want to do day to day.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem. I don't have a firm grasp on what I want to do. I know that I'm really good at very detail-oriented. I'm a go-getter, and I love to give it my 110%. I love to work hard, but I don't quite know exactly where my skills would have use in a business.
Okay, but I do think you know, though. So that's where we got to take the mystery away. So when you worked in politics, that detail-oriented, get-it-done guy. So did I hear you say you're detail-oriented and you're a guy that likes to solve problems?
Yeah. I love to get it done. I'm not a dreamer. I'm not an visionary.
Tell me the work. Describe the role, the function, the task that you loved in your previous work. Gave you the juice. You think about these forms of work or these tasks when you're in the middle of it. Gave you the juice. Oh, we lost him. All right. No big deal. All right. Let's see if we can get him back. Until then, let's go to Jensen Beach, Florida, where Jessica is on the line. Jessica, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call. And I want to apologize ahead. I'm a little bit nervous.
Oh, listen, I get it. It's okay to be nervous. You're in good hands. I'm going to take good care of you. So just forget about all that and just share your heart.
Okay, great. Thanks. So I feel like I sort of have two halves of my sweet spot, and I don't really know how they're related or how to connect them.
Okay. Let's see if we can talk directly into that phone. Get it right up next to your mouth. Let's try that.
Got it. Thanks.
Oh, that's much better. Okay.
I feel like I have two halves of my sweet spot, and there's the part where I love working with children and young people in like community atmospheres. And then there's the part where I'm really academic and I love to learn and things like that. And I really don't know how to put them together, especially since I can't see myself teaching in like a public school classroom or anything like that.
Okay. So you love teaching and instructing kids? Is that the type of work you love to do with kids?
Not necessarily. I like working with kids, and sometimes I like teaching, but I don't like the practical stuff. Like, let's get to the next year. Let's get to the next standardized test, like that kind of thing.
Okay, but describe the kind of work you want to do with kids. Let's forget about the academic learning piece for a moment. And if I said, okay. Jessica, I'm going to give you three jobs next week. You get to try one each day, take a day off in between. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you get to work with kids, different environments. Tell me the kind of work you want to do with kids. I get it's not a public school environment, so stop thinking about that. What kind of work would you love to get paid for in working with kids? Describe it.
Okay, so one of them would be in some kind of nonprofit or volunteer-ish setting, like in, I don't know, maybe...
What are you doing with the kids or for the kids? You're telling me the setting, which I appreciate, but I want to know what you're doing with or for the kids. Describe the task or the role you would play.
Okay, so supporting them in...
You got it.
I guess I'm not 100% sure.
Well, yeah, you are. What are these problems? Think of these kids. These kids you've got in your head. What are the problems that they're dealing with? What are the challenges they're facing?
I guess they want somebody to listen to them and talk about or just listen to their needs and dreams and stuff, desire. I don't know. Even small stuff.
Okay. I think you do, and I think you're full of self-doubt. Am I right?
Probably.
Okay. I want you to strip that for a second, and I want you to think of the kids that pull your heartstrings. Tell me what the kids are experiencing or the challenges they're facing. Forget you and your work right now. Just tell me, Kim, when I think of kids that are dealing with this, this, and this, my heart just bleeds for them.
Okay. So they're having stress at home or at school.
There we
go. And
they
feel kind of ignored.
There we go. There we go. That's it. Those are the kids. So how would you do that? Guidance counselor at a school, counseling, mentoring programs, working for nonprofits where maybe some of those kids are there doing activities and you're just kind of that friend or buddy. There's a lot of different ways and a lot of different organizations where you are essentially that shoulder for someone to lean on, that kind and listening, encouraging ear. Does that sound about right to you when I describe it that way?
I think so.
Yeah. So you say you want to learn. You can combine those two. You could get into that work and then, you know, constantly be learning and growing to go, okay, I want to be the best listener, counselor that I want to be, and I can have a commitment to always be learning new techniques and new studies and new things like that. I think you can combine those two loves. But I think at the end of the day, if you're listening to a kid and encouraging that kid, that's where you're happiest. So I want you to stay on that line that we were on right there and find all those places where you can do that and go there. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Ken Coleman here with my wife, Stacy. Studies show that smiling improves your physical and emotional health.
That's why we love the Burst Sonic toothbrush.
The unique soft charcoal bristles powerfully remove plaque-causing bacteria.
I really love the three modes, whitening, sensitive, and massage, and they look fantastic on our counter.
Burst Smart and Affordable Replacement Head Subscription is just $6 every 90 days. So visit burstoralcare.com and use the code KEN to grab a Burst brush for as low as $49.99. That's burstoralcare.com. The Ken Coleman Show continues bringing you clarity so that you can confidently step out onto the path to fulfill your purpose and courageously stay on the path. Clarity breeds confidence, and confidence breeds courage. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Hey, folks, one of the big chunks of our audience are people who, they do have an idea what they want to do. They do know what they want to do, but they're not quite sure how to get there. That's why I wrote the Proximity Principle, the proven plan that will lead to the career you love. And that book is still selling like crazy. We have a bundle that's only available at our website. It's been doing so well, we've kept it for months and months and months. You can get all three versions of the book for one price. The autographed copy of the hard copy, the ebook, and the audiobook, all for one price of $25. Three books, one price. It's the gift that keeps on giving for yourself, your friends, family. Go get it, kencoleman.com/store, kencoleman.com. Just click on the store. 844-747-2577 is the number. We're going to go back to Toronto, Canada. We had Sebastian on last segment. He got disconnected. He is a guy that has worked in politics, but wants to move more into the business world. Not quite sure what he wants to do in that area. And so before we got disconnected, I was asking him to describe the type of work that he loved. I define that as passion, work that he loved, that gave him the juice. When he thought about it, when he did it, and when he was done with it, he was proud of it. What was the list, if you will, of that work from his previous background? Hopefully we get some clues from this. So let's go back to Sebastian. My friend, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Ken, thanks for reconnecting with me.
Of course, man. So tell me, what was the work that you loved doing when you were in the political world? Describe the task, the role, the function.
Mainly it was running on as part of large campaigns where I was given a lot of responsibility to also look over other people and help coordinate things like large gatherings onto Parliament Hill, or coordinate events, even sales stuff, right? Trying to sell the candidate at different events and that kind of stuff. So coordination, a lot of it was, and people management.
Yeah. So I wrote down while you were talking two types of work. I like to use ING words. I wrote down leading and coordinating. That was the work you loved most.
Yeah. I love that.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. So when we start trying to come up with ideas in the private sector, in the business sector specifically, what are the type of roles that allow you to lead and coordinate? Not just lead people, but coordinate details, events. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can go there. Do you see that now?
Yeah, I do. I think I would like to. I mean, that's why sales attracted me, because it's a lot of people skills and maybe even one day, leading a sales team or things like that.
I like that, Sebastian, because of what you just said. As you get into selling, because anybody can sell, it's just about getting fired up and figuring out how that product or service that you're selling, how that deeply connects to the customer. And if you find a way to kind of expose their need and convince them that they've got this need that your product or service fulfills, I mean, you can read sales books and go online and do sales seminars and webinars and all kinds of things. You can get good at sales, and you've been doing that. You've been selling ideas and candidates.
Yeah.
And the reason I like that is because it'll give you a chance to make some really good money. It doesn't require a ton of experience. And when you're making that jump, kind of saying, hey, I'm applying for these sales roles. Hey, I've been selling ideas and candidates. So I know how to sell. I know how to package ideas, and I know how to communicate well. I'm a good communicator. And you get in and do a good job selling, improve yourself, then it's a natural step or two on the ladder to where you eventually become a leader of a sales team. And there it is, coordinating strategies, leading people, communicating. That's your sweet spot.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do I use those proximity principles to even reach out to industry leaders right now and try and get in, right? Because I feel like I don't have any foot in any door.
Well,
I don't really have any relevant experience.
Well, that's not true. I just described how you have all the relevant experience, and I think you agree with me. All that stuff you did in the past on campaigns, you're just going to draw. When you go look at the job descriptions on some of these sales jobs, one of the exercises for you when you're looking at these things online is look at the job description and go, how much of that existed in my day-to-day job and campaigns? And you're going to see a lot of it. So then that's how you translate to, oh, I've got a ton of experience. And you do.
Yeah.
So forget the experience question. So the question you're asking is, Ken, how do I use the proximity principle? Okay, well, it starts with, let's identify people outside of your close personal network. You already know who your close personal network is, family and friends. But what about your acquaintances, social media relationships, former coworkers? You start going, hey, listen, just FYI, I'm looking to move into, you know, some sales, maybe, you know, coordinating, you know, sales management, special projects, promotions, blah, 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 blah. Just leave it open-ended. This is what I'm looking for. You spread the word. You got to tell everybody what you're looking for. And you do that while also looking at some jobs that you're intrigued by in Toronto. So let's say we get out the old computer today and we start looking for, you know, jobs that are intriguing to you that are in that sales, promotion, coordination, maybe even live events, you know, which I understand with COVID, that's, you know, that's obviously shut down in a lot of places. But, you know, special projects where you're coordinating, moving people around, campaigns, you know, that marketing slash sales, I think there's a lot of ways you could step in. But the point is you got to identify some jobs that you go, yes, it looks like I would love this. And I feel very confident with my past experience that I can do this. I've got the talent. I got the passion. And I like the mission of this work. Then you go back to that network, connections, web of connections, as I write about in my book. And you start going, you guys know anybody that works at XYZ, ABC, you know? And that's how you do that.
You know, practically, like it, with reaching out to friends and even let's say uncles and aunts, that kind of stuff that have these big businesses, which I have some of those. Do you just send them emails? Do you like how do you practically?
No, pick up the phone. It's my aunt and uncle, I'm not sending my aunt and uncle an email.
Yeah.
What's your aunt and uncle's names?
Well, it's my wife's. You know, it's my wife's family, so I don't know them very well. But
well, your wife does.
Yeah. Right.
So you tell your wife, hey, wife, will you call Uncle Larry and tell Uncle Larry I'm interested in this position, in this position, in this position that are open in his company? I cannot believe, Sebastian, that you actually asked me that question because you're a sharp guy. You know exactly
how. I've already done that. I've already gone out and done that. But I was just I doubt myself for a little bit, right?
So I get it. But my point is we want your wife to set up a phone call with Uncle Larry and Aunt Martha. All right, and these family members who own companies, but let's first see what jobs are available in those companies so we have a very specific target. And then the wife calls up and goes, Sebastian is a great fit for this, wants to move out of the political sector into the private sector. He's got all the experience.
Yep.
You know, would you talk with him about it and give him a shot at an interview?
Yeah.
Boy, that's the best kind of proximity principle connection there.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, listen, Sebastian, listen to me, man. You got this. You know what you got to do? You got to start reminding yourself. You know, I got an exercise for you, Sebastian, and I think a lot of people listening right now need to do the same thing. So those of you out there who are dealing with doubt, like Sebastian, here's an exercise for you. First thought in, last thought in. First thought in the morning, Sebastian, last thought in your head before you turn the light off and go to sleep. I want you to remind yourself how valuable you really are, how good you are, what work you've done that is good, and I want you to say that to yourself for about 7 to 10 days, every morning and every night, because you've got to get to a point where you believe what you're supposed to believe about yourself. Folks, listen to me. This isn't just a Sebastian issue. The number one voice we all hear out of all of the voices in our lives, forget 24-hour media, social media, friends and family. Do you know the number one voice we hear the most, Sebastian? It's ourselves.
Yeah, ourselves, yeah.
So you've got to begin to practice this rhythm of reminding yourself the truth about you. Sebastian, you got this. Do you hear me?
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate,
go for it, dude.
The advice.
Let's go. Come on, folks. You matter. You have what it takes. That's how I end every show. Maybe you should tell yourself that. Don't move. More Ken Coleman Show coming right up. The Ken Coleman Show continues from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, helping you figure out what you were born to do and then make a plan and then step out on the path, stay with it until you get there. Equal parts counselor, coach, and cheerleader, I am your friend. You're one phone call away. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Battle Creek, Michigan, where Courtney joins us on the line. Courtney, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my question. So I'm in a position at my current job where I think my boss is going to ask me to take on more responsibilities and maybe even some like admin or supervising responsibilities. And I'm wondering if it's appropriate for me to ask for a raise, and if so, how to do that.
Yeah, I think it is appropriate. Excuse me. My allergies are killing me, Courtney. I apologize. Goodness gracious. I think it's appropriate, but I don't think, you know, I don't want you to come out and go, hey, I want a raise for this. What I would do is in the meeting, and I'm assuming these additional responsibilities are going to be on top of your current workload. Is that correct?
That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah. What I want to know, and I want you to do in the meeting, is to figure out, are there going to be some current responsibilities that you will have to let go of to take on these? It just helps you set your case, because, you know, they may go, well, you're going to have to drop this or this or this, and we're going to hand that off to somebody else, but you're going to pick this up. But if it is, as you assume, that you're going to be picking up some more responsibility in addition to what you're already doing, I would just say, hey, listen, I'm very honored that you're bringing this to me. Certainly open to do it, because I do want to add more value to this organization. I want to have more responsibility, deliver more results, and as a result of growing my responsibility, I want to grow financially as well. How will we measure, you know, these things, and can we tie in, you know, compensation to execution on this? Because, you know, obviously I'm excited about this, but I'd love to know, you know, how do we measure these new responsibilities, and where you feel good, I feel good, and I get to increase my compensation as a result of taking on more responsibility. I think when you ask it that way, it doesn't come out cross as you're going, well, yeah, I'm into it. What's the money situation? It's kind of bringing them into the conversation, because you want to be measured by this and you want to take on these responsibilities for the purpose of growing, not just professionally, but financially. And I think if you approach it that way, that's the way to do it. It makes them think through it.
Perfect.
Now, what you want to be prepared for is, to the best of your ability, to research the marketplace and look at what the median salary is. So not the high, not the low, but know it all. Know the high, know the low, know the medium salary for somebody doing what you're doing. And that information is pretty widely available, because it would be good for you to know, this is where I'm at right now, this is what I'm making. And you need to have a good idea, because what if you do that and in the moment they go, okay, what were you thinking? You want to really be ready to go, well, I did some research and here's what the market is saying. Do you see how impressive that is? It's not your opinion. It's not you just throwing out some number. You know, that leader's going to go, oh, Courtney has got her act together.
Yeah, what I am a little bit concerned about is that I've done some of that, like looking into it already.
Good.
And the median salary is quite a bit more than I make right now, which is great. Like, that's, I guess, potentially good for me.
Yeah.
But when I was looking into, like, oh, how to ask for a raise, like some of the recommendations that I was reading online said, like, the typical raise is somewhere between 3 to 5%, and I would be asking for a raise that would be more along the lines of like 10 to 15%.
Yeah, but
so I just don't want to do anything inappropriate.
I know, but listen to me. Those articles, while that's true, that is referring to an annual raise, not a.
Okay.
So that's an annual bump that companies will do 3 to 5% each year, staying in the same position. But this is a situation where they're coming to you for a promotion. They're coming to you going, we need you to do more. So it's very different. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So it's totally different. But here's the good news. So let's say the median is 20, I'm making up round numbers for lack, because we got to go. I got to go in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. The median income, let's say it's 20 grand more than you're making now. Well, you could come in and go, you could give them a number where you're making 12 grand more and it's below the median, but it's still a nice chunk mm-hmm. for you. So do your homework on that and be prepared to give a number somewhere between the low and the median. That's a great place for you. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Ken Coleman Show continues from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville. Excited to have you with us as we talk about you, your purpose, your contribution to this world. 844-747-2577. If you're new to the program, this is a new kind of talk radio. We're not talking politics. We're talking purpose. It's a caller-driven show. You call in. We are discussing meaningful work, which is kind of at the end of that journey to the dream job where you're showing up, you're going to work, doing something you're good at, something that you love, and that creates a result or produces a result that matters deeply to you. That's the sweet spot. And in that sweet spot, where you use what you do best to do what you love to produce results that matter to you, there are multiple jobs and career paths. So where are you on the journey? Are you in a place where you need to get clear? Do you need to get qualified? Do you need to get connected? Do you need to get started? Do you need to get promoted? Are you really close to getting that dream job? Trying to determine, is it the dream job? Is it a mirage? Or are you just going, hey, I need all of it. I need the whole path. Great. The show's for you, 844-747-2577. Maggie's up. Next, in Columbus, Ohio, Maggie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Mr. Coleman. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
So I have a public relations degree with minors in history and marketing, but I've never used that experience. Instead, I went straight into legal work because that's what I was familiar with. So I work as a legal assistant, and that's what all of my relevant experience is. But as I've been working for my current office, I've realized I'm just really burnt out by the work and really stressed out and spending a lot of hours working there and then coming home and just being really stressed out and realizing that this is not the career path that I want to be on.
Okay.
So I am hoping to switch career trajectories, and I don't really have a sense of, I have a sense of what I'm interested in, but I don't quite know how to turn that into a career. And at the same time, I am kind of worried if it's okay to find work in a less stressful field, if that's not really in my dream like path. I'm worried that if I find other work that still isn't really on that path, is that just going to be prolonging me finding the work that I'm wanting to do?
Yes.
Or do I stay in the stressful job?
Yeah, I want you focused on the dream. So let's figure that out. Okay. You said you have an idea what you want to do, but you're trying to figure out how to turn it into work or career. So what is it that you want to do?
Yes. I really like history. I minored in it just for fun. I really like researching and writing, but I don't know how to really, especially during COVID when most places that I've looked into are closed and not even accepting volunteers, how to kind of start that.
What are some of those? Tell me about these places where you're interested in working.
We have historical societies here. There's a big history center, kind of like museum, I guess, type places. And I was kind of interested in, you know, at least volunteering and helping get a sense of what I would like to do with history, because I'm not really quite sure and I don't know how to narrow it down.
Yeah, I got you. Well, you're doing the right thing as I teach in the proximity principle, which is just get around people that are doing what you want to do, get in places where it's happening. So, you know, getting in those places like that is really great. I wonder if there are any, are you talking about when you say, I understand the historical society is one. What about historic buildings, national, you know, like landmarks, you know, if you go to somebody famous home, I don't know the Columbus area very well.
Right.
Do those places exist? Like, for instance, in Nashville, we've got Andrew Jackson, former president's home. So that's like mm-hmm. a big historical tourist destination. Are there places like that in Columbus?
I don't know about Columbus, the city itself, but I know in Ohio there are some, you know, president's homes and things of that.
Yeah, nature. So you got to start thinking of places like that, you know, and in COVID times where you can't show up and maybe do the volunteering, you can still do a lot of research and get a sense of what are the type of jobs that they have there. And then as you're, you know, examining and researching these jobs, as your head is processing what that work is going to be like, your heart will kind of go ding, 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 or you know what I mean? And so a lot of online research, just things like, you know, jobs that exist, you know, just for fun. I'm going to do this. Every once in a while, I do this live on the air. And I it's kind of to prove a point, Maggie.
Okay.
So let me just do this. Let me wake my computer up. And I just want to see what happens. Let's see what happens when I type in jobs that have to do with history. Sound like a decent one? Okay, so we've got high school history teacher, community college history lecturer, blah, 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 college, government historian, historical consultant, museum curator, archivist. It doesn't say anything like, you know, like, but the park ranger. I know that going to a lot of historical places when I was a kid, the park rangers were like experts. And so they would lead these tours and stuff like that. A writer, a researcher. You know, there's all those things. And I think for somebody who loves history, as you're trying to figure out, well, what do I want to do? What kind of work do I want to do with history? Do I want to write about it? Do I want to analyze it? Do I want to share it? Does that help break anything out for you when I throw it that way?
I think so. I think the sharing it probably is what strikes me the most.
Yeah. So let's just have some fun here. No pressure. Like, what are the type of jobs where you would be able to share history?
Well, I would assume as a teacher, because you can teach students about history.
Sure. Yep.
I guess, again, in museums, of like giving tours and helping people to see history from that perspective.
Yep.
I'm trying to think, what else?
Well, you kind of nailed it, you know, like that if we're going to share history, we're either going to write about it. You could probably begin your own podcast, or you could start writing, you know, and take historical photos, put them on Instagram and start writing about those historical pictures. That's a great way to share history. And you could build yourself a really nice tribe by doing that. I know I follow a couple of accounts on Instagram, you know, history and pictures, and those accounts do pretty well. So what if you started, you know, an account, I'm just making this up. What time period of history do you love the most?
I love, like, I'd say late 1800s through the, like, 50s, 60s.
Well, so I'd take that time period if I were you, and I'd start experimenting on Facebook and Instagram and taking pictures and history moments and writing a little bit about it. You can do a mini article on Instagram and Facebook with these pictures and explain how it's relevant to you. Because remember, you should always write or post or share history that you care about. Because if you are excited about it, there are people who will be excited about it as well.
Yes.
So, you know, if you're going to be a cook or an artist, a musician, always produce stuff that you would consume, that you would get excited about. Because there's a lot of people in this world, and the people that share that same interest with you, they'll show up. So I think there's a lot of ways to do this when you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I move into the full-time role? I'd start doing some of that stuff, the Instagram, the social media. I'd start doing that now. But yeah, I would look into all those positions. Are you qualified to be a teacher? You know, if you are and you could become a history teacher, maybe you do that for a few years while you're making some inroads, you know, with, you know, anywhere in the country. It doesn't have to just be Ohio. You know, historical societies or historical places, you know, and if you want to be a guide, you know, look into what does it pay? What does a national park ranger pay? And if I put myself in a historic place and I'm giving tours and helping maintain the integrity of the property, plus sharing the story, I mean, you just have to put yourself in all those different positions, learn as much as you can about the day to day and what it takes to get qualified, and your heart's going to tell you which one you want to go after. I think you're ready to go. I really do. Don't you?
I think so. And I'm just kind of, I guess, confused as to what I do with the stress of the work I'm currently in, if I go ahead and let that go and find a different job, or if I stick to that.
Yeah, I would replace it with another non-stressful day job. There's no reason for you to be that stressed out. So stay there until you find something else to replace it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just another day job that's not stressful. Hey, I've got to run, but before I do, I want you to know that you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts, such as The Dave Ramsey Show.
If you're looking for boring financial talk, you're in the wrong place. This is not your mother's 401k meeting. This is life on the radio, and it's just downright entertaining. Thanks for hanging out with us, America. We're glad you're there.
To hear full episodes, just search Dave Ramsey wherever you listen to podcasts or go to DaveRamsey.com.